The story is told about a young pastor who lived on the church property in a parsonage. And the outside of the parsonage needed to be painted really bad. It was starting to look old. And so the young pastor went to the church council and he made a proposition to them. And he said to them, "If you buy the paint and the materials, I will paint the outside of the house." So the church council took it to the board of elders, and the board of elders thought that that was a good idea. So the board of elders talked to the board of trustees, and the board of trustees thought it was a good idea. So it went back to the church council, and the church council said, "This is a great idea. We'll do that." And so they gave the money to this young pastor to paint the house, the outside of the house. So the young pastor was going to paint the outside of the house, but unbeknownst to the congregation, this young pastor was actually having some financial difficulty. And he decided he knew how he was going to solve this financial difficulty problem. He was only going to buy half the paint necessary. And so he went to paint the house. He would take the good paint and he would mix with it water and he would paint the outside of the house and nobody would be the wiser. And so that's exactly what he did. One Saturday morning, he had all the materials, except he only had half the amount of paint that he needed, and he mixed it with water, and he painted the house. And folks, it actually looked pretty good. And he was very, very pleased with himself. And so he went to bed that evening just very tickled pink that he had gotten away with this. Well, in the middle of the night, he had one of those Arizona gully washer storms came through about 10 o'clock in the evening or 1 o'clock in the morning or sometime, and this rain came and pounded the outside of the house. And because it wasn't good, strong paint, but it was this other paint, it completely washed the paint off the side of the house. The next day, when the people came to church, instead of seeing a brand new painted parsonage on their property, what they saw was the old parsonage, and all around it was this white water. Well, the chairman of the board of trustees was absolutely livid. And so he came up to the pastor, this young pastor, and he said, "I can't believe this would happen. On Monday morning when that paint store opens, I'm going to go there and I'm going to yell at them for sending us faulty paint." And at that point, this young pastor realized that he had been caught. And so he told the board of trustees person what he had done. Now, folks, it's a good thing that he didn't live at the time of Peter and the early church, because he may have been struck dead. We're talking today, we're continuing our story in the book of Acts, our account of the book of Acts of the early church, and we're going to talk about Ananias and Sapphira, who also held back on the church. And in order to understand this story, we need to actually back up a little bit in Acts. And since I didn't tell Rich about this, I have no idea if he's even capable of doing this. But we're actually going to go backwards in Acts to Acts chapter 4, verse 32, and we're going to pick up the story. And if it doesn't show up on the screen, it's not his fault. It's my fault because I didn't tell him. Acts chapter 4, verse 32. "All the believers were of one heart and mind. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they shared everything they had. And with great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them all." Now this is the key verse, verse 34. "There were no needy persons among them. From time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone as he had need. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field that he owned, and he brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet." If you've heard of that name Barnabas before, it's because Paul and Barnabas traveled all together. Barnabas is a key figure in Acts. He's a key figure in the early church. And as a matter of fact, the early church father Tertullian thought that Barnabas was actually the author of the book of Hebrews. So Barnabas is a very important guy in the early church, and he took some of the land that he had, and he sold it, and he gave it to the apostles to distribute to the poor. And all the people were doing this, And so that's the stage of what happens before Ananias and Sapphira do their little thing. Ananias and Sapphira wanted the same kind of words of encouragement and kudos and all the blessing that goes with saying, hey, we sold a piece of property too. But they went about it a little bit differently. So we start in Acts chapter 5, verse 1. Now that there was a man named Ananias together with his wife Sapphira, and they also sold a piece of property. And with his wife's full knowledge, he kept back a part of the money for himself. He brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. But Peter knew that something was wrong, and he said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money that you received for this land? Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied to men, but you've lied to God. See, Ananias and Sapphira, they wanted in on it. They's like, hey, we want to tell people we sold that property and we gave it to the church. And so they did. They sold the property, but instead of just telling Peter, you know, we sold the property, but we're only giving you a part of it, they lied to Peter and to the church and said, we sold that whole property and we're going to give it to you. But they kept back a part of them, of that money for themselves. Now, the thing that I want you to understand is this has absolutely nothing to do with money. This has absolutely nothing to do with how much money they gave, whether or not they gave property or money or anything to the church. They could have done anything they wanted to. The problem is that they thought that the church was kind of just some sort of game. And so they were just going to try to fool the church and fool Peter, and they were going to try to take credit for something that really wasn't something they should have taken credit for. And apparently Ananias' wife Sapphira, she was in on it too. The problem isn't necessarily that they didn't give money to the church. The problem is the authenticity. I think it's very interesting that this is the first sin of the church that Matt was talking about. This is the first sin of the church. And the punishment for the first sin of the church is death to Ananias and Sapphira, all right? Now, not everybody who acts like they do are going to die on the spot. That didn't happen. But I think God was very angry with Ananias and Sapphira. Because authenticity is the most important aspect of the church. And yet, I think because we are sinful people, we live in a church where I think sometimes we think that whatever we do in the church is okay, and if, you know, if we lie here, if we just hold back or whatever, it's okay. But God knows your heart, folks. God knows exactly what's going on in your heart. And we have a lot of people that come to church and they think that the church is a game. They think that the church is a country club. I have a friend of mine who's a pastor, and he pastors a church, and they had decided they were going to start this program for the community. And so they brought it to the board of trustees, who brought it to the elders, who brought it to the church council. Everybody talked about it. Was this a good way to reach out to the community, to use our facilities for the community? And it turned out that everybody was in agreement with this. And so they said, yes, we're going to do this. They brought it to a voters' meeting. The voters approved it, and they're going forth. The next day, this lady of the congregation comes into the church, into the pastor's office. And she said, you know, I give more money to this church than anybody else. And if you do this, I'm leaving. That's fine. She can do that. But then she said, and I'm going to try to take everybody I can with me. I'm going to try to show you and this church just how powerful and influential I am, that I can do whatever I want. See, now, the question you have to ask yourself for anybody is, where's the focus here? Is the focus on the lost, the people who are out there? Or is the focus on me and how much power and how much influence I have in the church? This last week, I was thinking, I don't know why, actually I know why, I was thinking about politicians and how sometimes they're inauthentic. And I was wondering how many politicians arrive at church just because that's the thing to do to get elected. How many of them think it's just a game or a country? And I'm not saying all politicians are like this. There's a lot of good ones. But I just wonder, how many of them lie and deceive, and they show up at church and they think this is a country club, and we're just going to kind of do this. It'll get me elected. Because it's all about me. It's all about what I'm going to do. I've looked at my own life, And I've wondered how many times have I been more concerned about my life than the life of the people out there? How many times have you thought, I'm going to be more concerned about how I look and what I can do than the people out there? Ananias and Sapphira built their house with paint that wasn't strong and full strength. And it ended up washing away. And they were laid bare. And they felt so much guilt about that. God was so angry, they died. Now, you don't have to die when you lie. You shouldn't lie. But what you need to know is that God forgives you. That God has the power to take all the past from your sinful life and to whitewash it clean, not with just bad paint, but with good, strong, heavenly paint of the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus came to this earth and lived a totally authentic life. And when Jesus came to this world living that totally authentic life, he bought and purchased each and every one of you, and he gives you the power of the Holy Spirit, and it's that power of the Holy Spirit that helps you live an authentic life. And we in the church need to live an authentic life, but every once in a while we start to twist, we start to turn, and we start to look more about ourselves than we look at the world outside. And so we read in God's word and we come to church and we sing praises to God and he turns us back to face him. Jesus Christ has given you the Holy Spirit and he has washed you with wonderful white paint that will never come off. It's not that horrible paint that's not authentic. This young man, this pastor, felt terrible. He felt like he wanted to die. He truly felt, how in the world can I serve God after this? So he didn't know what to do. He knew there was another pastor in town, and actually an older gentleman in town. So he went up to him, and he explained the whole entire situation. And the older gentleman in town said, you know what it says in 1 John? When you confess your sin, God is faithful and just, and he will forgive you of all your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. He said, you need to confess that sin to God, and he will forgive you. And the pastor said, man, that is great. He said, but what about the congregation? So how are they ever going to forgive me? What in the world am I going to do? And the old man looked at him with a twinkle in his eye. He said, I'll give you one piece of advice. He says, repaint and sin no more. I've been waiting the whole sermon for that. Jesus loves you. He died for you. Be an authentic Christian. Have the power of the Holy Spirit to guide you.